The name of this tape is The Life of Jesus Garza. It was taped by Gracie Garza on April 12, 1975 at the residence of Jesus Garza, which is 404 East Lee. The purpose of the tape was for a history project, okay, for Dr. Hunter. This tape is to be presented to the James C. Jernigan Library, South Texas Oral History and Folklore Collection.
I am Jesus Garza, born in Kingsville, February 1396. My father passed away in 1910, and I was stay with my mom. My mother raised me up. She worked for me, helped me, so I can go to school. I went to Austin School, 3 blocks away from home, on Avenue Lee and 11th Street. We have such a nice teachers that treat us nice, as Miss Orange, Miss Beatrice, and Mr. Howard. It's the only teacher I remember. And then I used to work at the barber shop. I do some work in there, shining shoes. I go early in the morning, 7, clean the place, then go to school, come back at 12 o'clock, eat, and then I'm going to stay and clean the shop, and then get back to school. At 2:30, I'll be out of school and going to work the rest of the evening at the barber shop till 7 o'clock. So then I got tired of working there. I went next door to work for a tailor shop, watching clothes, washing and cleaning and drying. I do everything. Then later, I moved to work in a restaurant to wash dishes. And then finally, I landed a job for 3 months on a clever bank, replacing a janitor who was sick for 3 months. Later, this man got back. I then went working for Western Union, where Mr. Honey was the manager, that lady there. And so I worked, finally, this man got on the bank, started to make a trip to Europe for 6 months, and I went and replaced him again on a clever bank. And I have a lot of work to be done in there, clean the office on top of the bank. I had to clean every day the letters on front of the bank because it was made of brass and had to be cleaned every day so they shine, looks pretty. One which front, the 6 feet, the other front, the clever bank. So then later I went working for a baker, where it's now it's Allen Furniture. And then I understood that after the baker closed, they went in there and they built the Kingsville newspaper, the Kingsville Record, and then was a surprise when they put the Kingsville Record here in Kingsville. A lot of people went in there to see such a big, big machines. It was a surprise for us, never see something like that. Paper come out once a week, sold them in drugstores, later start to sell them subscriptions at home. So then, well, I was out of work. I start to work shining shoes here and there, but they used to have a camp, army camp, out southwest of Kingsville. There is now the field of football field for Gillette and Memorial. It could be the army camp in there. They have a little tent camps in there, and the boys belong to the army. So we went out there in shine shoes. We got so good acquainted with this man in there. They treat us nice and everything. So finally, everybody knows us. And when these boys, some of these boys got married with some girls here. When this camp, they moved out here to town, they took them straight on, stand straight up to Germany. To wear, yellow breeches and in church and much, they use hats and they use some leggings. So when we left, when they left, they gave us a lot of things like that to give to us because they weren't good friends. One of my boyfriends used to change shoes. I love him. They used to call him Pancho. They want to take him over there. But that day, his father hide this man, put him in a locker, don't want to see him to go out because they want to take this boy. Finally, both left and understood. They went straight to Germany. Over there, Molde, they killed Molde, everybody. It sure was bad because when we heard about this, it was a bad war, you know. Missed these boys from the left because we used to go Molde every day to see these boys drill. They really drill, they play music. We really enjoy with them, you know. They treat us nice and good. We shine, we enjoy it when they do anything for them. Shiny shoes, we make them pretty. And boys, they really treat us nice and good. Boys left for Germany. So for this big fight coming there, well, we went, Molde went out of work, you know, just shine shoes, don't make much money. So I had to go to work on the corn to work and picking cotton, where with a lot of people we're going out there to make our living. As much as we went out there when the time come out for onion harvest, and there was plenty of people, always a lot of people work on this field. The roads was nice and good because we travel on wagons and horse, hitch by horse. And I tell you, the roads was good. We never have no trouble at all. Picking cotton thing, we all met with leather things every day. We see a lot of snakes. We have trouble sometimes. These boys, some of them got struck by snakes, you know. And boys had to run them back up to doctors to try to save a lot of these kids. As much we have, we met with coyotes, a lot of rabbits and armadillos. So we have a lot of things that you have to deal with them every day. People working in there, they sometimes have to be as arrogant like this. When anybody got stuck by a snake, well, everybody get close to these things. That we do the best we can to bring you to the doctor. You only take time driving on wagons. You know, it's not like days. You drive in a car, don't take you long. But sometimes, more than always, we're lucky those doctors save these kids from dying. Take this boy to the doctor when he's struck by a snake. Some men have a sharp knife and cut the place where the snake bite him, and then them put some kerosene oil to give him relief for a little while, and then so they can bring to the doctor and always give him good help. Sometimes the boys can go by good, never die. To me too. I was on the cotton fields in there, and I got on top of a horse trying to go to my home, you know, right there on the ranch, when I fall out of the horse. And it happened that I broke my hand on two parts. Well, it didn't hurt me when I fall down, but it was about 10, 15 minutes later, it started to hurt me a lot. He had to drive me on a wagon with two horse hitch up to Kingsville, 6 miles away. Boy, it was rough, you know. Take me about 2-3 hours to get to town, 6 miles, you know. So next day, the doctor couldn't treat me that night, so had to treat me next morning. Well, it was funny, you know. The doctor come in the morning and just put me chloroform on my mouth, trying to treat me, to put me some 2 pieces of board made out of cigar boxes, put them in my hands to straighten them up. So anyway, when he put that thing, I just throw the doctor out, throw my mother and somebody else. So they had to get some more women, get about 10 or 12 women, and then they tie me up so they can put me, that close home in the face, and then put me to sleep. After that, they just only put me 2 pieces of board on a hand, and boy, I really got right, and my hand is still straight and good, you know. Nowadays, you know, they have to get a lot of stuff to put to get your hand fixed up. That, now those days, they really do miracles with it. But and when we get sick or colic, they take us to the doctor. The doctor give us some powder and garlic to drink, so colic can get over. But nowadays, you can get that because you have to be signed on the drugstore because they call it narcotics. Then we have a hard time to get them now. So, but sometimes, our mothers, they make something for this colic. They call it manzanilla tea. They boil them in water. And then we drink it in one cup a day or 2 cups a day, and then we get relief from it. We have a lot of other things, like when we cut a finger, cut anything, we have to use some of these spider webs for to stop this bleeding, you know. The only way our Mexican people, we used to cure our boys and everything. A little story of myself. when they hire me as an immigrant to go to shop cotton out of town. They took us on a train here in Kingsville. And then we went down in Sainton and catch another train. And this train take us all over to Beeville. When we get there, it was 11 o'clock at night. It was surprised first time I going out of town in a little town like that. The first thing I heard was a bell in there. It was a clock of a big church ringing in there. And I'm still over there, that church in Beeville. So next morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, they took us to a little town called Riverdale, Texas. And that little town, they took us in a wagon about 12 miles away from town. And I tell you, it was no, you don't see nothing but farming there. It was thousands and thousands of acres. I don't know how long it is. But anyway, we start working in there. So some people start to live close to the river, some another part. So they leave me and an uncle way back, too far away from the rest of the guys. So we start to chop in that cotton there. And we worked for at least 2 months in there. So when we got through, we really was glad to get back to our hometown. So I went that day to see this fellow. He was ready to come back, one of my friends. So instead of going through the road, I went to the middle of the farm because it was easier to get there because it was not so hard to get there. So I was singing and enjoying whistle and everything because I have in mind I was going back home. But it's at least about 2-3 feet away from me. It was a big rattlesnake already prepared to hit me when I saw him. I jumped back over there, back, and I don't know how, and I started to run, and I went back where the road was, and then I went on till I got me to that place of that man. And I told him we was leaving in the morning. So on my way back to see my uncle, I went to a store in there, and then I started to get afraid to get back because I thought in mind, by the time I get back to this our home, that snake might be waiting on the road for me. So I stayed there all day. Then men start to get scared, went out there looking for me. When he find out, say, why didn't you go back? I told all the story about the snake, said, no, don't worry, you're going to be there. So we left, he took me home. So next morning, so that same night, we had a big kind of storm, you know. It started to rain plenty, it started with big winds in there. We had a house living 1 by 12, and you can see the light going through there where they pushed those boys in there, that wind. Next morning when we wake up, there were many, many trees all broke to pieces. So we went to meet this fellow where we were supposed to meet him. So it's over there. So we have to walk over there up to the town. This man supposed to take us on a wagon, him, his wife, his kids. So we walk in there. It was during the war, you know. It was no flour, only they had corn meal. And they don't have no sugar at all. And well, we didn't have much to eat. So we were walking there, and finally, by the time we got close to there, we was hungry. Father told me, why don't you get to a place, look, see if we can get some little bit of bread or something to eat. Finally, I didn't talk much, just a little bit. So I went in there and happened to be a house of colored people. I talked to a lady, I'm looking for something to eat. And I don't mind how much you chop, just as long as you give me something to eat. So the lady gave us some beans, gave him something else, and they gave some bread. So he didn't charge us nothing. Well, I too was proud of it. We eat, me and this man. So we went walking till we got to the depot. He was just a little bit out waiting for the train. So this man, although we was waiting, got back in there about an hour later. So we waited in there, and when the train come in, we get in there. The only people were in there, me and these folks in there. And we got back to Beaver, and when we got back to Beaver, and we catch another train, get together. It was the biggest day of my life when I got back to my hometown.
Okay, so then
when I got back to town, I went on. We had a big fiesta running around town, about 2 blocks away from my home, run by Mr. Joe Garcia. So we went in there and enjoyed every night and every day. But during the day when I went out there, we used to happen to meet some men in there, you know. They were funny for this way because always offered us a nickel to fight me and other boys. So I had some big fights in there with the boys. And when I beat the boy, I was a lucky guy. When I got home, I had all my chores all torn to pieces, and my mother gave me good spanking. So when I win the fight, anyway, my mother spanked me. When I lose a fight, that means I lose a fight and I lose a big battle with my mother, so I always got whipped. And these fellas always lied to us, never give us the nickel. But I tell you, nowadays, I'm not that kind of guy because I don't like the fight. Boy, doing fight like I used to do, I always stop him. Why? Just for two reasons. One, not to rub his clothes, not to put him bad humor for their mothers, or either their own friends get mad each one. You know the kids, they fight, they don't mind about it, they be playing in a little while, but when the fathers of each one got mad, that's a different story.
Okay, now at the fiesta, you said you went to a fiesta, okay. What sort of stuff did you see, and what games did you play? And
right here on this fiesta ground, they used to have a lot of kind of games, much loteria, they call them, you know, in Spanish. All the plenty of people went up there. And they have a lot of places in there where they rifle cakes. They play with tennis, trying to get things. They have some kind of little, do the ball, play with balls, knock a little monkeys or something while they put in there, you know. They have plenty of different kind of games, you know, where they make money, these fellas, and people enjoy them anyway, you know. We go mostly every day and every night. It lasts 1 month every year, you know.
Okay, could you describe, like, what the game Loteria was?
Wait. A Loteria games is like bingo, you know. They come out on board like that. But they had some pictures, a lot of things, you know, and they're wrong with 75 numbers, you know, on this. Well, each number got the name of either for bee, man, horse, or woman, whoever it be, and it mentioned, you know. And they just play like bingo, come out just as bingo one. But the people, they really like, they don't have nowadays, they have bingo instead of that, you know. But it's still running a lot in Mexico City.
Okay, now, at the carnivals, what sort of prizes did you get? Did you get the prizes you get today, like teddy bears and?
Yeah, the prizes they gave me when that lottery, there was monkeys, teddy bears. And there was a lot of things, and lamps, and more, a lot of things. We'd be surprised, little dolls and everything.
Okay, now you said that you worked at a cotton mill too. Yeah. Could you describe that?
Well, when then I started to work this way. I went to work in a drugstore by Dr. Allison, called Kennedyville Pharmacy. Out there, I met a lady named, I don't remember her name, but this lady was a good friend of mine, and I used to bring her to my mother and give her Mexican dish, eat dinner, Mexican dinner, and we got good acquainted with my mother and everything. Later, this lady got married with a sheriff here, Tom Morley, and she used to be a good friend with us. So quit working in the drugstore and went working for the Kennedyville cotton mill, where they make twine, you know. So we worked in there from 6 o'clock in the evening up to 4 o'clock in the morning. They had to see one daytime, but I went to work at nighttime. So there was a big factory there, one block of big, you know, they had a lot of machines in there where they make twine. Putty when you get in there to see how the twine was twist when they went up to get the bales of cart and then make them smaller and more till we got the twine. I work on the twister where they twist the twine, and I work in there, and there were plenty of people working there. Girls work the twisting while we helping to get drag all those things. To work those big spools and everything.
Okay, was the cotton mill big, or what sort of machines did they have inside? And
those machines where they twisted, they used to run 200 foot treads to one side, and makes 400 treads both sides. You know, machines had two sides, you know. And they have many machines for that, about 20 or 30 machines. And then they come out to another place, they had another kind of machine, different kinds, where they make the tracks, you know. They really have a lot of girls working in there, you know, more girls than boys in there.
Okay, The stuff that you made at the cotton mill, okay, where did it go to the stores, like in trucks, or did it go?
This twine we're making there always was shipped to New York, California, all different, Los Angeles, and big stores. They sell them on a big store, you know, and they sell them up to Argentina. Sometimes Argentina asks for this kind of twine. I don't know what for, but away big order. We have to work overtime. Sometimes we have to work all day and night, up to 7 o'clock in the morning, and keep on going all the day. Two shifts.
Okay, how much did they pay at this sort of job?
Our pay in there, I tell you, runs close to 12 cents an hour. Just barely enough, but you know that time that you can get your groceries cheaper, but nowadays it was rough, you know.
Okay, well, can you describe, like, what a store had and what downtown looked like, if there were a lot of stores or...
Well, our little town, you know, we had our Mexican town here on Richard Street, just a few stores. As much we have here in Clayville, they have several stores in there, you know. Well, it was not further away. We'd go to town, American town, we'd go to Mexican town, because it was not far away from here, you know. Because I live close, the town was too little, you know. Just a few people live, well, I say several hundreds or several thousand, you know. But it was a little town for us, but now, well, it grew bigger and had to be building some more things. But everything was nice in that time. Store was a big store, too.
Okay, what sort of stuff did they sell in the store and how much did it cost?
Well, I tell you. En ese tiempo no había marquetas en las tiendas y tal, nomás. Right there in the store, we only sell grocery store. Well, come out cheaper, well. It's too much eggs, cheese, and milk, and everything, you know. Our meat they sell on the meat market. They don't have on the store meat like that nowadays, you know. But we got it cheaper because didn't pay much wages. Well, with anything you can get was cheap, you know. Even you get candy for a nickel, you can get Coca-Cola, soda. There was no Coca-Cola in that time, and I know it. But I knew it was strawberry and lemon sodas. Just to sell them a nickel a bottle, you know. And where we got some popcorn they're calling crackers, a nickel. Well, we got any kind of things, candies, you know, for a nickel.
Okay, at that time during the town, were there anything like movies or?
Yes. We just to have a movie theater called Electric Movie Theater. They used to cross the track. Well, we went to that silent picture in there, you know. There were a lot of people going there. We were surprised to see the show. They have some show them every week, you know. Every week about 80 poll as much as Pedro White, you know. And we go every week. Every week they show them there. Well, it's possible. A lot of people go out there, you know. The trailer was big enough, you know, to have a big crowd out there. And they used to play the... pianola in there, you know. Pianola used to play in there. Or we enjoyed the music before the show started and everything.
Okay, and after you worked at the cotton mill, did you find another job?
Yes. Yes, I... Bueno, te dije de esto, de la escuela. Antes de que entonces a las centrales, bueno, ponemos de la cuestión de, well, as I must say, in 1919, I'm going to tell you. Before I went to work on a cotton mill, it was in 1919, they almost remember, we have a hurricane storm here. It happened, my mother used to work for Clayville County Courthouse. He used to fit the man in jail, you know. So... it was about 3 o'clock when I went and got my mother, and we brought her back, and the wind started to blow from east this way, you know, and by night, it really was getting stronger and stronger. Well, I had to move out of my home, went to the home of a friend in there, me and my mother, and we were in there about 20, people in there in that house, and I tell you, it was a big house, built by 1x12 boards. And at night, the wind so strong, they used to move that board in there, and you can see all the light from inside, outside, what's going on. So by morning, mostly all the houses around where our neighbors all were knocked out from the blocks, knocked up to the floor, you know, up to the ground. And boy, it happened, nobody got killed, but they really do a lot of damage and everything.
Okay, did the next day after the storm, what did the town look like? Were the trees falling down?
So when we woke up in the morning, we went out there and looked at the house. Our house, it was on the ground. It's much a house next door. You know, wherever you see ground. And you see a lot of trees all broke to pieces here and there. And a lot of damage, you know. It cost money. Well, it was hard for our people. We were poor, you know. We have started to have a hard time to build it all over again, you know. They don't, I don't think that time they have some of this disaster they have nowadays, the government, you know. But, well, anyway, and how we make it to live again.
Okay. You also worked at the railroad. Can you describe that work? And can you say, like, what the railroad looked like before? Yeah.
Did I describe about that? I'm going to tell you about this lady's wife of Mr. Tom Morley. Well, she helped me tell his husband to put me to work in a shop. You know, he worked with his friends, and finally I went to work for Missouri Pacific. Missouri Pacific time when I went to work over there, you know. So I described this way it is, you know. By the time I went in there, they have a hard time to get in there because 2 years before they have a strike and still have watchmen watching there. The only way you can get inside in there, it was to ask permission to the big bosses so they can let you in. So it happened that their master mechanic took me over there in the office in the morning. So he fixed all the papers in the morning, and then they sent me back to see the doctor.
You work at the train long?
I worked many times on train. We used to clean them up and then paint them.
Besides going on train trips to visit your relatives, was there any other way that you could talk to relatives who lived out of town?
Well, the only way we can talk to our relatives when we were out of town, you know, was to telephone. We'd have to go to the main office over there when they had telephones. We have a little kind of hard time, but anyway, we get in touch with them. So we had supposed to make a trip and get ready. And then, well, we surprised because we don't have a hard time to get on the train and be there next day or next morning or whatever. We get over there.
Okay, now, what did the telephone look like?
No, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember about it.
Okay, were they pay telephones or were they just the telephones where you wind them?
Well, I tell you, no, there we had some kind of telephone, but no one. No, it was not.
It was just a pay telephone.
Pay telephone. The Boy Scouts. And I used to be with a friend called Alfonso Garcia. He was our director who chose how to work as a Boy Scout. And we do a lot of playing, a lot of boxing. And I used to box in there. Well, I didn't say I become a good one, but I always boxing, and well, we play football, we play baseball, and we have a lot of things done like that. Later, I become a manager of a semi-pro team for Skin Ranch Cowboys for near 12 years in there. We was glad, Mr. Claver, we lost a little park in there where we accommodate about 700 people in there. And we have a big team brought in there, you know. One time we brought the Brook Medical boys from San Antonio, where it used to be Don Newcomb and a lot of ball players from the big leagues. When they joined the Army, they had to come out there, and they built a big team in there. So I finally brought it in there, and boy, I just brought in with it. We knew we had no chance in the world to beat them, but we knew we were supposed to bring it so the people know them. And boy, that day we had a crowd there, about 3,000-4,000 people in there. We had to get an extra bench from the A&I college because to seat all the people. We were hundreds and hundreds of cars. Well, we were surprised. We had a big gate making there. Well, the first time ever making gate, across $2,500, you know. And he sure was glad about that, you know. Well, this team never was charged for it because the army supportable. We gave him all the expenses, the sleep in a Ricardo Hotel just to be here. We gave him all the expenses for 3 days, you know, about eating, all eatings. Whatever it cost, you know, we bought from our. But he helped a lot out because he leave us a lot of money. And we, after the game, we really enjoyed that game. And because all the people there enjoyed with these fellas, they give the best they can on town. Took them all to the clubs here and have a big time, I tell you.
Okay, speaking of the Ricardo Hotel, what was it and what did it look like?
Ricardo Hotel was one of the biggest hotels in town many years ago. It was the principal thing when the trains come in from Houston, either come from Bravo. They had a boy in there ringing a, they had a ring and a kind of bell in there, so they mentioned that the hotel was ready there. Somebody go eat. The train stay in there for 20 minutes and they give you enough time to go eat. The rooms in there was pretty. A lot of people stay in there. Boy, you'll be surprised what kind of room they had in there. Well, the times went hard and hard. Finally, they got rid of this hotel.
Okay, you were talking about the King Ranch, about being a manager for one of their teams. Can you tell me what the King Ranch was like in those days?
Well, if anybody knows, the King Ranch is our hometown. It is, you know, one of the biggest ranches in the world. They have millions of acres. And the merchants have thousands and thousands of cows, which mostly every year they send to the market from 10 to 15,000 cattle a year. And they really own a lot of oil wells. By a friend who knows, I know, he told me about the mostly have about 1,500 oil wells in there been having, you know. And they have now the biggest refining in the world, you know, that is humble in there.
Okay, and... okay, you got married sometime. Okay.
Ya vamos a llegar allá, ¿cómo?
Okay, can you tell me?
Every weekend, finally, I went up there because my grandfather used to live in there. I went over Brown to school about a year in there, and I met some girls in there when my father put me up to live, and they raised me over there, and I used to call these girls sisters, and much I call the mother, my mother. So finally, these girls, every time I go every weekend when I was working railroad, they always show me different girls every week. So I went on and take them up to church, and I see a lot of things going in church every Sunday, some marriage and boys, some big marriage, some, well, depending how the people could afford it, but we married. Finally, I land with my wife. I find my girl from over there, my wife from Brownsville. I find them out, and finally, I got married. Now, I'm a happy man with three sons, and now I say got me several grandsons and granddaughters.
Okay, can you describe like what a wedding looked like?
My wedding well was not a big one, you know. I went in and took it over and went up to the judge and fixed it up, and then later I married by the church. I think it was a big wedding for me. But he was just good enough because I'm still living with my wife. I'm glad. I'm an old man as much as my wife it is.
Okay, at the wedding, did you have a reception? And what sort of food did they serve?
Well, our reception, we have, well, just about little cakes, you know. Nowadays, only a little cake make only one pancake, and that's all. Nowadays, you know, they're making three or four kinds of different.
Okay, like, we know that there's a difference between that Mexican food, okay, from American food. Can you describe, like, what kind of food there is?
Well, I tell you, when we make our marriage in there, we had that. We used to drink chocolate. We don't drink it nowadays like Kool-Aid and that. But we used to make some Mexican food, you know, to eat. Well, it was a kind of little difference nowadays, you know. But now we're getting used to the beans and rice and everything. But we can get along all right with them. Well, the A&I College, the first building in there, I used to work with a big construction company. We started working in there as current make cement. We carry them on wheelbarrows so that we keep on going. And it took a long time. When we needed a close to get through with this building, they built a tunnel way back out back of the building. It run about a block and a half. So one day the son was over there to drag all the board where was the where they build the cement and send Jose Gonzalez, Jesus, me, Jesus Garza, and Macario Horta. So we went in there and worked it out, and then dragging all the board from the bottom. We had to lay down about 6 feet on the ground. When finally we see, they start to cave in. When the cave in come in, I just run out as much as Joe, but Macario Horta couldn't make it. He's staying there. The whole thing got him there. But he's lucky. A big rock got him between him and the cement in there. And you can hear Harlem over there calling for help, for mama, for father, and everything. Everything could come out there. He really hurt us. So we start to holler this boss. And finally, this boss, he have in mind something was wrong. He come in about him and 20 fellas, and they start to dig in there. Finally, we work it out. And they drag this man out. They call the ambulance. The ambulance come in there. And they took this man to hospital. Then finally they come to talk to me. I think was hurt. This Joe a little bit and say, how about you going to keep on work? I say, no, I'm quit now. And I really did it. And me and Joe.
Okay, at that time, was the hospital big or was it small?
They took this boy to hospital. But the hospital that time was a small hospital. But really, it was enough to cover all our people. Our population was not big enough either.
Okay. Kingsville at that time was still small. Were there a lot of people, about 1,000 or?
That time, the population here, I couldn't tell you for good. But it was 2,000-3,000 people. It was not big enough. Yeah.
Okay. This was a little time before the Depression. Can you tell me, like, what it was like during the Depression and what you did?
When Depression come in, you know, really was rough for us, you know. People, you see, have to be running here and there. We look in jobs every day in the shop. We have to make reports to the railroad government that we was looking for jobs so they can help. Otherwise, they didn't want to help us. So we won't work in there. They hired us to work on a PTW, you know, and only pay 50 cents a day when the Hoover administration, you know. And we have had a hard time for all the people here, you know. We could hardly make it, you know.
Okay, when the time of the radios came in, when the presidents would talk on the radio, did you all have a radio and listen to it?
When the radio come in, but I bought me one of the radios, and the radio was made by Philco. I put me here in my home, and I play my noon hour when I come to eat, and I play so hard that when I just reach down, it's about four or five blocks, I still hear the radio, but it was not much traffic in town like nowadays, you know. You can hear anything, you know. Okay, now, I'm putting the radio key, you know.
What sort of stuff did you hear on the radio? Okay, do you remember like any of those programs that they say where they had two people and they were like comedies? Where?
Oh, sí, Amos, that's the program we used to have was some plenty of music, a lot of advertising, but sometimes they come out some comedians, but I don't remember at that time it was Amos and I remember all the ones we used to play in there. My family was three sons. One first was Gaspar, next one was Johnny, and next one was Arnoldo. Well, the ones I have a little more trouble with was Johnny because he used to go to fiesta grounds in there close to me, two blocks away. Oh, sometimes get in trouble, and my friends come and tell me, and he always say, who tell you? He always wants to find out who tell me. So he's the one who had more trouble once when he was running a while before he got married with his future wife. He run up there and crossed town in there and run his car over 50, 60 miles, and a friend come and tell me about it, you know. And this fella say, the boy running wild. So one day I told him, say, I bet you the same man I told you about that fight. I say, no. It was the future sheriff who told me. So if you want me, I'm going to take you off. You don't have to take me. That's what he say, you know. And say, I trying to put him to be fair, not to run wild. That was the main thing for me.
Okay, and during that time, had When they went to school, had the school changed from the time you went to school, or was it almost the same way, or were there more schools? Or
I tell you about Johnny, you know. Once he slipped away, I was taken bad. He lived with a boy named Colonel Raven. Oh. To catch, Confector Castro went on to go on and catch fish. I didn't know, always provide him to go out. When they come in, they come out with some tadpoles. And what I did, I gave him a good spanking.
Okay, speaking of when you were young, what sort of stuff did you do when you went to go play? Did you go fishing or?
Me? No, I never, while I was young, I never only played football a little bit, but I mostly played boxing, but I never in my life, I only once shot a shotgun, 6 bullets, that's all I have done in all my life. I never go and fish it because I was afraid or get drowned. I never went to kill deer or anything because I was afraid to get shot.
Okay, at that time, what did the guns look like? Did they have those six shooters or long guns? Or?
Well, way back, you know, we have old times rifles, those 12-tail shotguns, and 410. Nowadays, you know, they have difference.
Okay, and at that time, did you all clean your own guns, or did they have places where they cleaned the guns?
I could tell you much where they may clean the guns here, but one thing I had against the law is to have a gun at home. The first time my son and Johnny trying to bring a gun, I say, nobody, don't bring no gun. I never in my life I ever owned a gun, and I never want to own none.
Okay, during that time, can you tell me what sort of laws they had? Like, what was against the law, and what wasn't, and how the laws are different from today?
You know, curfew we had, we used to supposed to be reported at 9 o'clock home. They used to blow a whistle at 15 minutes to 9 o'clock, and then that means to we get ready to get home. By 9 o'clock they blow another whistle, and that you have to be in home. Otherwise they'll pick you up, they'll take you up to the law, take you up to the office, and maybe you have to be fined or something. What's going to happen to them?
Okay, at that time they had a jail. What did the jail look like? Was it like the courthouse now, or?
Well, by the time I knew about the jail, it was still like the same thing we had here in the courthouse. But we used to have a city jail here. It was a little small house, two buildings, but it was mainly a little thing, you know.
Okay.
Lot to railroad, you know, because as long as I was working, we had a pass to go here and there. And many times I took trips up to Mexico City. It didn't cost me nothing. He furnished all the trips, even a trip to Mexico that was paid by railroad. And then finally we made some trips up to Chicago, my wife and me, to go see her sister in there. He made several times go by herself and everything.
Okay, at that time, what did the towns that on the way to Mexico look like? I mean, like the border towns of today, like Laredo and places like that, were they big or small?
I tell you, the border town where I make trip as much, I go to Laredo, Mochico, Matamoros, is a big town, you know. Because mostly all the people from Mexico come across and have to be close to the United States.
Okay, at that time, what did Mexico look like?
Well, I tell you, Mexico looked like, well, little town don't look good, but when you go to Mexico City, it's really a big city. One of the biggest cities I have seen in Puebla, Mexico.
Okay, can you describe like one of the times you were in there, like what sort of stores they had, and like can you describe how they sold stuff and
Mexico? Well, I went to Mexico, me and my wife, several times, and we went to see our vision. Beacon de Guadalupe, what they call it, every people in Mexico believe in her, you know. He's pretty that church, one of the biggest churches. And we had the cathedral right there in Mexico, close to the president's palace, and it's one of the biggest, too. We have a lot of places trip we make to Xochimilco and make another places, they're poor, you know, where you see things so poor that I don't know how they make it.
Okay, at the stores, I've heard that they used to sell a lot of gold jewelry. Can you?
They got a lot of big stores, you know. We've been big many stores in there. They sell a lot of rings, gold rings, you know, and pure gold, you know. They sell it to you, and they sell it cheaper. But now, well, not nowadays, but they used to sell it way back.
Okay, okay, you can tell me now something about, did you ever attend a livestock show?
Yeah. I attend live show with way back many years ago when Mr. Charlie Plato III father used to make it just outside of town. The first time I ever see some hogs 3-4 feet high that I never have seen anymore, just to have one of the prettiest Jersey cows ever have in this county. Nowadays I don't see these cows no more, not even these big hogs.
Okay. At that time during the livestock shows, did they have things like they do now, like where they have the homemaking things like pies and cakes? Mm.
And that time, well, they have the cooking, the pies contest, and they have a lot of things made by the ladies. And it was pretty, I don't say it's pretty like nowadays, but it was really good to people see.
Okay, at that time, did they have like July the 4th picnics and things where everybody went?
Oh, yes. Wait. The many years I worked for railroad, that we have the struggle, big days, holidays, as much as 4th of July, and we make trips up to New Brunswick. They put in the train or for everybody, all the families of the men working in shop, and they make up as much to Dixon, Texas, one side of Houston, where they race queens and everything. Oh, and they have betting suit contest. The girl was the first thing. All it was furnished by the railroad, Missouri Pacific. He pay all expenses, put trains, and they pay everything about eating and everything. Don't cost nothing.
These picnics, did they have stuff like they have at the carnivals today, like Ferris wheels and things like that?
No, they don't have a super wheel, you mean? No. The only place where they had it is, they had it once in Dixon, but in Landis Park in New Brunswick, no. They don't.
Did carnivals ever come to Kingsville?
Oh, yeah, you know.
Can you describe, like, what was at one of the carnivals?
Oh, yeah. Way back many years, they used to come carnivals, you know, big carnivals, really. And I don't mean here, but they come in small ones. But they had it here. It's much, well, I saw snakes about 20 feet long. Big ones, big snakes, carried by 5-6 men on the show. Well, we pay for seeing them, you know, but they show them in front of the people in there, you know. And they had all kinds of games and everything. Many years ago, they come a train over to Kingsville station in there, and they call them the 101 wonder things in the world. They had inside in there, you pay to get an admission of 50 cents to see them. They had a man in there without hands, foot, and he can shave. You can see a man with two faces, one side a woman, another man. And you see wonderful things in there. It's worth to pay the money to see this kind of show. So the doctor gave me up at noon hour. I went back to his shop, and from over there, they sent me to the general office to big superintendent, Mr. J.C. Nolan. And Mr. J.C. Nolan gave me the right paper to report to work, and I started to work in there at the shop at 1 o'clock November 1925. I decided to work as a laborer. I went working in a trip track gang, they call them the gang, you know, but picking all things, kind of iron, you know, all scrap and everything. Finally, later, my wage was too late, you know, so they sent me to work with the paint department there. When I was working with them there, I start to do painting. It was against the law because about the union, you know. But anyway, I do little things, and they give me a lot of help to learn a lot of things. Later, about 6 months later, I was promoted to be a painter helper. The man got sick and couldn't be able to come back to work, so I replaced him in there. Then I went to work as a helper. I used to start to paint Indians, do this kind of work, you know. Then they changed me from Indians over there to coach department. It's a different department. And then I went up to rip track. I do work on sandblasting, painting and everything. I learn everything on it, you know. As much rip track on cars, as much in coaches, as much in Indians.
Okay, what do you do when you do sandblasting?
I used to sandblast engine, you know, tanks and everything. As much as I sandblast parts to put in the coach, you know, parts of the coach was bad, I have to sandblast them in there.
Okay, were the trains large or were they small? Did they carry freight?
The trains were small and large. We had small ones and had a big engines too, you know. And he had to be sandblast. Even the tanks, they can take all the paint and put new paint, you know, and they used to change all names when they used to be Gulf Coast Line, changing up to Missouri Pacific.
Okay, were there a lot of trains in Kingsville at that time?
And we used to have stalls in there for 14 Indians in there. We always have 15, 20 Indians always in there. They have a parking, enough parking for all this kind of Indians. Always ready to put Indians to run a train up to Houston in the morning and have a train going on to Brownlee, you know. Every time a train make a trip from Houston, they cut them off here and put another Indian so they can keep on going to Brownlee. When they come from Brownlee, they cut them off here and put another Indian to make it to Houston.
Okay, did they have any passenger trains?
That's the one. The passenger train is the one doing all that, those trips, you know. And we have our freight trains. Well, it takes more time on freight train because it takes longer time then to come, you know, but passenger train we do every day, one from Houston and one from Brownsville.
Okay, did you ever take a train trip?
Yeah, I used to take a trip to Brownsville mostly every week, you know. On weekend, we don't work, we go out there in Brownsville. It didn't cost us nothing. They have a pass to go travel to train, passenger trains.
Okay, what did the train look like from the inside?
Well, I couldn't say much about the inside of the train because the only thing is the engineer and the farmer, they used to feed him with oil, you know. They have some oil in it, feed that engine, put him with such a big pressure, I mean, 150, 180 miles, so they keep on rolling that train, you know. But right there in the coaches, we have such a nice little coach in there. They work it out already, have paint inside, have everything on it. Then later we come out to have air conditioner and everything.
Okay, during the trains, did they serve food while you went on long trips? And
we had in there first, you know, when they had those little trains, we have a man selling, you know, selling candy, selling Coca-Cola, or being all kind of drinks, you know, we sell them on the train. Well, later the train put a diner car so you can where they can serve you something to eat, and then they put some pullman so they can people can rest to sleep at night running from Houston up to Brownsville. Or from Bundle up to Houston.
Okay, did you...